Welcome to the Heavenly Warriors Radio Network, training people all over the world to fight spiritual darkness and wickedness in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 6:12. The Lord says, His people perish for lack of knowledge. Heavenly Warriors is dedicated to spreading the knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're tired of being a human punching bag for the devil, and you're hungry for more Holy Spirit power in your life, stay tuned. Welcome to HeavenlyWarriors.com. This is Minister Rick Bell with you with a very special guest in the studio today. You might say this young man is family to me, because really he is. I've known him since he was born. He is the son of probably one of my best friends in the world, who happens to also be a minister, his dad. Now, his dad wasn't always a minister, and it was a long road to get to where he is now. But I want to speak with this young man. His name's Tony Gunner, and he's a minister now. But he has a story that many of you are going to relate to out there. So, Tony, welcome to HeavenlyWarriors.com.
Thanks, Rick. It's great to be with you, and it's my honor and pleasure.
So you guys currently live in what you refer to as a cabin in the hills, is that right?
Yeah, we live in southwest Arkansas, between a place called south of Mena, if anyone knows where Mena is. But it's a beautiful, hilly, mountainous, full of rivers and streams and creeks and nature and wildlife, and we love it.
Sounds beautiful. Absolutely. So, long way to get to Mena, right? So you started out, you were born in East Texas, weren't you? You're actually born
East Texas,
in my
Marshall.
My hometown, Marshall, Texas. As a child, when you were born, were you born into a religious family?
Not so much.
that's an understatement.
Well, it depends on what religion. What are you referring to as religion?
Let's just kind of take it from there. Your childhood, you were saved at around 10 years old, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was at 10.
Tell me about that. Were you in church? Were you with your grandparents, your parents, or how did that work?
Well, no, up until that point, and you were around in those days somewhat. You and Dad were traveling on the road, and I was living with my mother. They had obviously divorced when I was about 4. And I had an aunt at the time who would take me to church, but not really any spiritual mentors or advisors in my life. Grandparents had gone through some church splits, like all of us are familiar with, and they had kind of pulled out of the church and turned to Freemasonry and the Eastern Star, that kind of thing, as their religion. But at about age 10, my dad had come back around into my life, and I was spending more time with him, and we began to go to a Pentecostal church there, Spirit-filled church, Holy Spirit-filled church, and that's where I was saved and baptized and ultimately received the Holy Spirit, was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
That's great. You have had firsthand direct experience with demons, with demonic entities.
Right.
With witchcraft, with voodoo, and it actually was in your family heritage. Is that right? Can you speak a little bit about that and what you know about that?
Yes, to all the above. I spent about 10 years. Let me back up a little bit. I have to give you a little bit of backstory. After being saved and baptized in the church, this church also went through a bit of kind of a split. A little bit of religiosity had gotten into the members, and we ultimately quit going there. And because of that, in my early years leading up to that point, I had become associated or familiar with these demons that would come into my room at night, and what I call them terrorists. They would terrorize me.
So now, how old were you when these demon entities began to show up
about
in the room?
About 5 is when I remember them first.
Small child, and they would show up as ghosts, or what did you think you were seeing?
It began in a dream, and this thing would be pursuing me in a dream, and I found out later on that it often begins this way. But at some point, it went from actually being what I thought was a dream into being a reality. And the way I can describe it to you, if speaking of levels of consciousness, if 10 is fully awake and 0 is being fully asleep and in REM sleep, at about 5 is where these things would come into the room. And the person will wake up and not be able to move. You're completely bound. You can barely breathe. Or feels like there's 10,000-pound elephant on your chest. And you become aware that there's a presence in the room. Now, I found out since then, and actually recently, that this is so prevalent now, they've actually, doctors, medical doctors, have given it a term. They call it sleep paralysis. But it's nothing to do with actual sleep paralysis. It's got to do with demonic activity.
Absolutely.
But from that point forward, when I became saved and baptized, received the Holy Spirit, there was a reprieve from that. And when we stopped going to church, I began to become angry that we were no longer going to church, because I had bought in wholeheartedly. I carried my Bible to school. I was telling everybody Jesus was coming. And when we stopped going, I felt the separation from God that I hadn't experienced before. So I became angry, angry with parents, angry with God. And I was praying, you know, I want to see you. I want to see you. Please appear to me, blah, blah, blah. And when that didn't happen, I became rebellious, angry. And I thought, you know what? If you're not going to reveal yourself to me, I'll go over here and I'll find who will reveal themselves to me. Mm-hmm. That began my 10-year journey, or actually my lifelong journey, hand in glove with this, what we call the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm.
So these entities would come to you, and this was not an isolated incident. They stayed with you. As you grew up, you continued to see these.
Absolutely.
These entities. Now, unbeknownst to you, you had no knowledge of this at the time, but your mother's family had been involved heavily in witchcraft. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And this was something I didn't find out until 2011 when my mother's mother passed away. I didn't know that she had sisters. She has 9 sisters. All sisters have daughters that live in either New Orleans or Las Vegas and run palm reading shops, tarot card shops, and down in New Orleans and in Las Vegas. So I had no idea. None of us, you know, really knew where this was coming from. And eventually I ended up at age 16 with a full blown manifestation on me, a possession for a short period of time. And that was on my 16th birthday. To see, I was the first male child born into this coven of witches.
Right.
And at age 16, I guess, is some sort of coming of age or something.
Yes.
But
yes.
Anyway, it was a pretty big deal.
Did you ever go through anything that we refer to as SRA, satanic ritual abuse, that you know of? Now, I know some of these memories can be repressed, but sometimes people have memories, and this is coming to the forefront quite a bit. Did you have any experience or memory of that?
Not what I would have termed it at that point in time, but as I have grown up, I've studied and I've learned that, yes, to answer your question, I do believe that was taking place in my life. My mother had married a man who was very mean to us, and during this time I had, well, any kind of abuse that you can consider a child having, whether it be mental, physical, emotional, sexual, I had to endure. And not until I became an adult did I realize what the enemy was trying to do to prepare me for this, what would have been, you know, my venture into the dark side.
Right.
He was trying to prepare me to receive this demonic power, demonic influence in my life.
That really culminated in what you call your coming of age type event at 16.
Right.
Tell us what happened at 16 to you. Was this at a birthday party or?
Yeah, it was actually the night that I turned 16, and everything was going along fine, no problems, and I began to feel incredibly ill. And I remember going into the bathroom and I began to vomit this black, tarry looking, nothing that I've ever seen come out of a human body before. And I've found out since then that that's quite common. We work with some ministry friends in Arkansas that have seen that around a lot, but I had never seen it before. And after that sickness, it's almost like taking a drug. You vomit a little bit, and then this possession, this thing takes over you, and that was basically what happened. I began to speak these obscenities and launch people across the room. A group of 3 or 4 people could not hold me down. I had superhuman strength, superhuman knowledge. As people would come into the room, there was some removed family members that had come in they were called, hey, come out and see if y'all can help us with what's going on here. And when they walked in the room, I sat up and said, oh, look, the witches are here. I didn't know 30 years previously they had practiced witchcraft.
Right.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
So you're at your family's home when this manifestation happens at your 16th birthday, when you begin to vomit and throw up. And again, that is a normal occurrence where demonic entities are involved.
Right.
Immediately after that, you entered into that state of full possession, where I know from speaking personally to some of the people who were there that you had superhuman strength.
Right.
They couldn't contain you. Am I correct in saying that night they had you taken to the emergency room at the hospital?
Yeah. When I regained my full senses and I was aware of what was going on. It's really hard to describe, but anyone that's ever experienced it before, you can relate it to being in your car.
Mm-hmm.
And someone outside the vehicle has a remote control, and they're tapped into your vehicle's electronics. And all of a sudden, at a flip of a switch, they take over your car. You're still sitting at the wheel.
Yes.
But you have no control over what direction, speed, how fast. And that's what it was like. But I came, regained my full senses in an ambulance, and was actually listening to my dad discuss with the ambulance, the EMT there, if he had ever seen anything like this. And I remember him saying, have you ever seen anyone's face glow in the dark? And the EMT said no. And he said, well, I did tonight.
My. So that was it a wake-up call for you, Tony, or did you not know or realize what had happened to you at the point?
You know, I'd like to say that it was, but it really wasn't. I mean, it spooked me, but it didn't scare me off. Mm-hmm. You know, I continued to pursue these things because I thought, boy, I must be really getting close to the source. I must be learning some secret knowledge.
Which is what you were on a quest for.
That was what I wanted to begin
you
with.
You were literally inviting these entities to gain the power.
Right.
So this was a quest you were on, and you had friends who did the same thing. I know your dad's told me that you guys as a hobby would sit around and stare at streetlights until you put them out with your sending psychic messages to them. So you guys did that.
Yeah, we did some crazy stuff.
You did some crazy stuff. And I know the Ouija board was part of.
Yeah. And a lot of this began at a very early age. At 7 or 8, I was able to work Ouija boards. You know, I didn't need a partner. And, you know, sometimes I didn't even need to touch the thing. And so this began very early, very young in life, and I never understood why I was able to have this ability or this drawing, because other 7 or 8 year olds weren't concerned with these things. You know, they wanted to go play and hang out and go hunt.
But you were drawn to that supernatural.
Right. The first book I was ever able to buy with my own money was on developing your ESP powers.
Really?
So, yeah, wow. It's pretty crazy at a very young age, but the enemy has a way, just like the Lord will bring people that you need and where you're at in your life. He brings people to minister to you. The enemy does the same thing. So after that, I began to not really seek out, but I was open to other people being brought in. And sure enough, he would bring people in that would elevate my knowledge about this or this or this, or bring me deeper into
the dark side.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we actually, I mean, I went as far as I think a person can go. Not crossing the line to blood sacrifice and that kind of thing, but
you were headed there. That would have been the progression of the whole thing,
right? Because I was conjuring. You know, we got into conjuring demons and, I mean, you name it, praying to Lucifer, the whole nine yards, crystal scrying, New Ageism, been there, done that.
When you were doing these things, you were literally bringing demonic entities into the home,
right?
I know at one point. Because again, I've been close friends with your dad and for a long, long time, and I would go to their house and they would tell me about entities that they were seeing at the foot of their bed.
Right.
These things, and that all had to do with the things that you were into. These were real, tangible things that were happening. They were coming into their life.
Right.
Based upon you dabbling in these black arts.
Well, yes and no, because it started before my dabbling. That's what encouraged me to dabble. From the very beginning. So at a very young age, before any of this ever started, I mean young, 4, 5, 6 years of age, we saw things and were aware of things being around. And I was aware that there was a spirit world because I would see things and sense things and feel things that other people didn't. And And of course, the entities that would visit me in my bedroom at night. And that was really why I wanted to search and find these things out, because I couldn't get the answers in church. No one was talking about it. No one was addressing the issue. And I knew that there had to be more, because there had been more in my life. I had seen something. Something had happened to me. Things had taken place that no one was willing to address or was able to address. That sent me on a spiraling course down a dead-end road, looking for answers that I would never find looking to the enemy. I had to turn to the Lord to eventually understand what was going on.
Wow, you just said probably what there are probably thousands of people that are who are going to hear this. And what you just said, the answers you were looking for, you weren't finding them in church.
Right.
They weren't to be found in church. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's the condition that has led to this epidemic rise in demonic power in this world that we're in now. Mm-hmm. So moving forward, it was a long journey to get from there to being a minister that you are now.
Yes.
Now, through all of that, there was a break that you and I talked about this, and I don't understand the total significance of this. But Tony, when I received this revelation that the pre-tribulation rapture was a man-made doctrine that was not real,
mm-hmm.
that one revelation seemed to open up the box for me.
Right.
And then the downloads began to come from the Lord, and all of this that's led to me right now being on this radio program, that all stemmed from that. Amazingly,
right.
You had some of the same type of experience. Can you talk a little bit about that whole thing? Because you were just like me. We came from that mold of, we are all going to be raptured out of here. There's going to be this
right.
this thing that happens, and our clothes are going to fall off, and airplanes are going to crash out of the sky because the pilots are going to be raptured. We believed that.
Right.
You were. Tell me how that came about for you to come out of that deception.
Well, it was a long. It wasn't something that happened overnight, and this was years in the making for me personally. But I always felt that there was more. Something just didn't make sense to me, and my quest for knowledge, my quest coming out of occultism and the New Age movement, I thought, you know what? I don't have to be that extreme. Let me go over here. And I was in the military at the time, so I'm traveling around the world. And I thought, you know, as I travel, I'm going to check out the culture and I'll find God. I'll find the real world religion, whether it be Buddhism or Hinduism or Taoism, whatever it is, I'll find it when I'm out there. And got into the yin and the yang and this and everything. And at some point after that, discovered, you know what? And I even made up my own religion. I was, you know, so arrogant that I thought I had it all figured out. But at some point after that, I realized that, you know, this is, I feel right about this. I remembered the experiences at age 10, and I knew that Christ and God were real, and I knew that the Holy Spirit wanted to happen to me when I was baptized and received the Holy Spirit. I knew that that was real, so I was holding on to that. So while I began to study back into the Bible and study the Word like I should, I began to look, and you know, people become obsessed with prophecy and this and that and the other. And I found this kind of weird link, I guess. I felt a link between prophecy and the stuff I had come out of and this and that and the other. So
a tie-in, if you will.
It was a kind of a tie-in. It was a natural tie-in. So that kind of segued me over into the Bible and Thessalonians and Daniel and Revelation and these Matthew 24, these places that talk about what everyone calls this rapture. And when I quit listening to the pastors and began to read the Word.
Amen. Yes.
I couldn't find it in the book, which gave me really, you know, it was confusing and it was frustrating.
Yeah.
And one day a friend of ours pulled me aside in Arkansas, and he said, I want to reveal something to you. His name's Steve Squires. And he's the pastor, head pastor of Noble Learning Center. Refuge Ministries in Cove, Arkansas. And he shared with me what the Lord had revealed with him. And he just took us on a walk through the Bible. And he didn't tell me. He said, I want you to read this. I want you to read that. So I read it. And it states very clearly that without saying it, there is no rapture.
Amen. Yes.
Doesn't exist.
Now, when you accepted that as truth, was it well received in the church world?
No.
That's Are a you setup, kidding? That's a setup question. That's a trick question, man.
I believe this more than I've ever believed anything in my life, and I'm the only one in my family that believes it. My own family can't really come to terms with it because it's hard to deal with. It's hard to accept, and we've all had this hope that, you know what, we don't have to go through all this nonsense. We don't have to deal with it. In my opinion, it's made the church completely ineffective, and it's part of what's going on across our country right now. The church has been sitting back on its laurels thinking, well, we'll go to church on Sunday, and we'll sing our hymns, and we're going to have dinner on the ground after right at noon on the money. But they're ineffective in dealing with these issues because they don't think we're going to be here. And what's going to happen when they wake up and realize that we're in it?
We're in it.
We're in it. And we're not leaving, and we're going to go through it together.
And they're ill-equipped. They're not prepared for this.
Right.
It's a bit comical to me because you and I began this conversation at a family gathering over a holiday event, and and I didn't understand why the Lord put this on my heart. We're here and having a nice time, A revelation had been coming to me about something called scalar physics.
Right.
And scalar technology, which is deep physics, Newtonian physics versus quantum physics, and a whole deep myriad of subject matter.
Right.
But the Holy Spirit says, tell them what you've been learning about scalar physics. And this has to do with the spirit realm and how things work and how things move. And I thought, oh, Lord, nobody's going to get this. You know, we're having a nice family gathering. But he insisted that I did. And when I said to you and your lovely wife, who's also in the ministry with you, I said, I need to tell you guys something about something called scalar physics and how it relates in the supernatural realm and the heavenlies and all that. Right. So I began that conversation.
Typical Thanksgiving conversation.
Yeah, typical Thanksgiving conversation, your normal kind of stuff there. And to my absolute amazement, as I got a few sentences in and you said, yeah, and that relates to so-and-so, which this, and I thought, my God, he gets it. This guy who I watched grow up from the time he was a little boy, who I haven't had a long, meaningful conversation with him in probably 25 years. It's been a long time.
Right.
He gets it. He's up in a cabin in the mountains in Arkansas, and he's getting the exact download that I've been getting for the last several years, that many of you listeners have heard me speak about over and over on this radio program. Mm. And he's getting it. So I knew then that God is up to something.
Right.
He's trying to do something. So, Tony, speak a little bit about what God's been giving you that breaks out of the paradigm. All right. I use that word a lot on these teachings. The church is in a paradigm.
Right.
And the paradigm doesn't work.
Right. Well, you touched on something a while ago, and I skipped over it. I want to step back to it just for a second. And you brought up the fact that there seemed to be a breakthrough for you and for me, and we didn't know until this weekend, that it happened at the same point in our walk with the Lord. It was when we accepted the fact that we've been fed lies, that we've been deceived. And once
about the rapture,
yeah. Once she and I accepted the fact that, hey, you know what? This is a lie and it's been used by the enemy. Once our eyes were, it was like the scales came off our eyes and we could see clearly all the things that didn't make sense to us before. And so much scripture, Rick, fell into place. It falls into place like a clockwork. It's beautiful, the mechanism, and you can just see it all coming together. Once we accepted the fact that we didn't really know what we thought we knew.
I call it unconscious incompetence.
Incompetence, absolutely.
You don't know what you don't know. I've taught on it many times on this program. So that was a turning point for you. And from that,
right,
he just, we use the word download because I don't have another word to describe.
Right.
It's the closest thing to a download. And if anyone has never experienced that, it's like if you're on your computer and you need to get software, and you go to the software place and you click the download button, it puts all of this information, bits and bytes, on your computer. It's called a download. That's the closest thing I can relate to when God starts giving me some of these things. And the reality is, most of the time, if not all of the time, what he's giving me is about 180 degrees out of phase with what the church is teaching, believing, living, walking in. And I don't think that's by accident. I believe it's by design, because Satan set out, if he could get that thing called the church, which the thing we recognize as the church today is not anything. It's not a church.
That's right.
It's a motivational social club.
Right.
That's all it. It's a business that has to pay rent every month. And they to do that, they have to sell a product. That's exactly right. So that's where we are. And when that paradigm is able to be shattered, I get these downloads and you get the same thing. And as you've shared some of those with me, I'd like for you to share with our listeners some of the things that God's been telling you that it's totally contrary to the way you've been taught.
Well, once we accepted this new reality, he began to bring teaching in front of us and programs, you know, completely off the normal radar. You know, programs like yours, programs like True News, Rick Wiles, teachings from people like Tom Horn, Chris Putnam, these guys, Steve Quayle. And we began to become aware of this new reality, this different reality out here. And then scripturally, as these things would fall into place, we would begin to see how Satan has worked from the very beginning, and he's still working today, and we can see it in the world. Transhumanism, crazy things that are going on in the world with blending human embryos with sheep embryos over in the UK. This is what Satan was doing, going after strange flesh in olden world times, and why I believe personally God brought the flood. He saved Noah and his family because they were perfect in their generations. Their bloodline was pure. Their DNA was not tainted. And giants, one thing to another, the Nephilim, the offspring of fallen angels. So many things began to make sense for us as our mind opened and we could receive. It's almost like, Rick, that we've been taught our whole lives growing up in church, the enemy has put there, it's like a plug, it's like a block. And it completely stagnates us. We can't grow beyond that point. Have you ever noticed people get saved and then they'll start looking to the scripture and they find out, well, we're going to be raptured, and they stop growing. It's almost like once a person learns that, you stick the cork in their mind and they can no longer receive anything from the Lord. So once we pulled the cork out, all these new things began. Not new things for the world, but new things for us.
It's like that rapture teaching is like sitting at an airport waiting on a plane. You're sitting in the seat and you have your ticket, and the people aren't doing anything. They're just there. They're waiting.
Right.
That's kind of the picture I get in my mind of the church and this rapture doctrine. They're kind of at the airport, sitting there waiting. You got their ticket, not really talking to anyone around them unless they're in their group, their personal little group.
Right.
And their
denomination.
Their denomination. And so they're waiting on the plane. You know, I know I'm going to get on the plane because I've got my ticket. Yeah, I'm ready. My ticket's punched. I'm good to go. I don't have to do anything but sit here, maybe sleep, take a nap.
Right.
So.
And that's the danger.
It is.
What's going to happen when they realize the plane never made it to the terminal?
Amen. 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 That they bought the ticket from a scalper.
Yeah.
And the ticket wasn't real.
Right.
You're waiting on a flight that's not coming.
It's what angers me. It's what angers me about this teaching. And when we first learned this, you know, she'll tell you, I became angry inside. Very, very angry. Not at anyone. Not at the Lord, but at the enemy. We're spreading such a lie.
Yeah.
And the anger of knowing that countless souls are going to perish when they realize that this is going on, and they become angry at the Lord or angry at their pastor or angry at whomever and decide to completely do away. And they think, well, you know what? If that's a lie,
that's
then
right.
Everything I've been told going to church is a lie. That's the danger. And that's what the enemy wants.
That is the true danger, Tony. And you as a minister, and I don't know this. I surmise this, that when you begin to get these revelations, like the downloads, you become the kid that nobody picks for their kickball team with the church. I would imagine that you've had a few negative, you've received the boot of fellowship from a few church situations.
The backhand of fellowship.
The backhand of fellowship, right. that comes with this territory, and you and I were having this talk, that this can be a lonely and difficult ministry. Because to just put it in straight up terms, nobody gets it.
Right.
The church people don't get it.
Yep.
The religious spirit, the same spirit that killed Jesus, the same spirit that crucified him,
yep.
it's alive and well. It's true. It's running the churches. And they shut it down. They crucify you. They try to,
right.
like they did Jesus. When you start getting into this area, you know, in the world of espionage and spies and all of that clandestine thing, when a person begins to get too close to the truth,
mm-hmm.
they have an accident. Something happens to them.
Right.
They disappear.
Right.
Okay. That's what happens in the world. That's how they do it. In Christianity,
they commit suicide with a double tap to the back of the head.
Exactly right. Yeah, they stab themselves 46 times
yeah.
and you know, put themselves in the trunk of a car and set it on fire to commit suicide.
Right.
So that's what happens in the church world. They, when you start getting onto this truth stuff, they will assassinate your character.
Absolutely.
They will assassinate you in a different way. It's not the same type of a physical thing,
right.
but it's all just as devastating. So have you been sure. through that? Have you experienced some of that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, and currently you're doing a youth ministry that's really blessed, and there's a great story behind that, but you go out and you guys have a van and you pick up these kids and bring them in, and they're basically from unchurched families. The parents,
absolutely.
The parents don't go to church, but you bring these kids in and you teach them these truths,
right.
these realities. How do they respond to that? How do these kids respond to that? You teaching them this stuff?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's almost just comes natural to them. You know, they haven't been indoctrinated with this false doctrine. So they're open to receive the truth. And it's almost like their spirit knows when they hear it, they know that they're receiving the truth. And, the Lord has blessed it and it's wonderful. But we had to get out of the church to be able to do it, unfortunately.
Speak to that just a moment. Speak about how difficult that was, because there are many listeners right here. And I know because I get the correspondence from these people who are in the same place you were. Mm-hmm. They've got to make a decision. They've got to come out from among that thing
right.
to be able to get to the ministry God wants.
Right.
I had to do it. So you speak to that right now, to these people who are listening, who are trying to make this decision. They may have been in this church for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have them that write me and say, I've been in this situation for X amount of years, and our kids were raised in the church, but something's not right. They're not getting into this stuff, and I feel like I've got to come out, but it's difficult.
Right.
Speak to that.
Well, personally, we believe that the Lord is calling the true body out of this fake church body that we all know is the modern church. And yeah. I'm not talking badly about it.
I know
some great ministers. I know some
sure.
great lay people. I know some people.
Great,
that,
yeah.
Great music ministers that are involved in church. But to me, they're the exception, not the rule.
It's true.
So for us, we had to come out. You know, the Bible says, what have you in common with these? Come out and be separate. And that was a scripture that we kept getting over and over. And we were really seeking the Lord. What do we do about this? The church had hired her as a youth minister to be the on-staff youth director.
That's lovely wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Corinda. And they said they wanted a youth ministry. So we said, okay. So we went to work and, you know, we're all in or all out people. We don't just kind of do it halfway. And we were there every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday night. Not only doing that, we became involved in the music ministry, singing and playing, because we wanted people to worship and praise the Lord. And as the ministry grew because of her love for the children and our love for the kids, you know, kids bring kids.
Amen. Yeah.
Kids bring more kids. And what we found was that the people in the church didn't have any children that age. So there was no one in the church working with us, no one willing to help. They say they would help, but they would really be this, you know, controlled by these spirits, and they were actually trying to destroy what we were doing. We had to go through that whole deal to find that out. But eventually it got to a point to where we said, you know what, y'all don't want them here. Why are we trying to force this? So she and I made the decision to leave that ministry, and we were actually just going to go ahead and leave the children in place there. And the Holy Spirit wouldn't let us do it. He just kept prompting us. And it was literally within a week. We had been put in contact with some people that had the perfect building, the perfect facilities. It was literally a turnkey, something we could afford because we fund it all. We have no church backing, no support. Everything is done with family money. And that's how it happened. And we literally just stepped over into this new ministry. It's For Him Ministries is what we call it. And the Lord has blessed it ever since.
Praise God. And the key to it, I believe, was your obedience.
Obedience is the key. Absolutely.
To break out of that, your comfort zone. Right. To be honest with you, Tony, religion is comfortable.
Yeah, it is.
The church business, and that's what it is, the church business is comfortable. Yeah. And you feel good. Mm-hmm. It's designed by design to make you feel good. That's the product that they sell. And I hate to use that, but there's just no other term.
Well, they were comfortable going to the synagogues in Jesus' time as well. You know, and that was part of the whole mystery, I think, or part of the revelation, Jesus telling the disciples, the church is now in you. You no longer have to go to the synagogue. The church is in you. You are the church. I'm the vine. You're the branches. You're in me and I'm in you. That was the whole key. That was the whole key with the Holy Spirit. And that's what went on in the early church days. You know, they didn't have the Bible to read. They didn't have churches to go to. All they did, they met in their homes and they broke bread together and they ate together and they feasted on God and they told stories about Jesus and what he had done. They were building and edifying themselves up and they were literally living off of his living word. We're going to have to do the same thing today. If we're going to survive the onslaught of hell, the spiritual demonic forces that are coming against us, we have got to get back to the basics. Read the book of Acts. How did the church survive in the very beginning?
That's the model.
It is the model. It's the perfect model. So, you know, and I'm passionate. We're passionate about this. And we've got to get out. We've got to get focused on doing something that has eternal value. We're caught up doing nothing. We're playing church on Sunday. We're living in a dead society, in a dead world, hanging out in dead churches, doing nothing. And the enemy is running wild.
You're speaking to someone right now. Tony, I'm feeling this in my spirit. Those words you just spoke are piercing someone's heart that they have to come out. It's time for you to come out. You've pondered this, you've contemplated it, and you're dying on the vine, and you know you are. And whoever you are, I'm speaking to you, and you're hearing this message. This is an appointed time for you. It's not an accident that you've tuned in and you're listening to this right now. This is not something that I read about, or something that I saw on YouTube, or something somebody told me, some sort of fanciful delusion. I've lived through this stuff. I'm a deliverance minister. I see this demonic activity. I'm in an active supernatural ministry where I see things that the average person wouldn't see in a lifetime. See it on a regular basis because it's reality. My life story, some of you have heard it. It reads like a novel. It reads like some, if I sat down and thought, maybe let's make up this crazy, wild, nutty story about this guy who was given up for adoption as a kid and blah, 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 and fill in the rest of it, who's gotten to this point in 2015, you wouldn't believe it. Problem is, it's all true. And you can't talk someone out of an experience that they have had, that they've lived through. Not someone told me about it. I lived through it.
That's right.
So with our guest today, Minister Tony Gutter, he's lived through these things. These supernatural entities, this witchcraft growing in this demonic power, his possession on his 16th birthday, where he had to be restrained and taken to the hospital because of his possession. Spirits took him over. He lived this stuff. This is real. We're not sitting here making these things up. And why are we doing this? We're doing this to help you. There are people who are listening to this who are in the same situation all over the world.
Yeah.
I have people reach out to me from all over the world. And I know after this broadcast, they will be contacting. They will be reaching out because something is striking a nerve. When we're having these shows, things that are being said are striking nerves with people. Their spirits are rising up and saying, I've got to have more of that. That's what I need. So, Tony, in closing, if you could sum up the mission that you're on right now, the one message, if you could put it in a few sentences, that you want to communicate to people all over the world, because they're listening all over the world. What would be the thrust of your ministry right now, today, the message that you want to get out?
Well, first let me say this. If anyone is experiencing this kind of activity in their life, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, how bad you've been. Jesus can save you. The last time these things came into my bedroom and were taking me literally out through the wall, which was there, but it wasn't there. I don't know how to describe it. You can see into different dimensions on this realm. That's where they live. I had begun to sleep with a Bible beside me, and normally you're paralyzed. You can't move, breathe. This night, I was able to reach over and grab that Bible, and when I said the name of Jesus, they disappeared. They cannot compete against Jesus. He is the power unto salvation. All you have to do is accept Him, renounce Lucifer, renounce the enemy, ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. Surrender your heart to Him, and all this other stuff will go away. You'll see. You think it's got to be done overnight. It doesn't. All you have to do is begin to walk with Him. And it's not so important that you go down the block and join a church where you're going to have a bad experience or be told how bad you are or feel condemned or this or that or the other. All you have to do is accept Christ as your Savior. Ask Him to come into your life, and He can make all of this go away. It doesn't matter what you've done. All that matters is where you want to go. That's the first part. The second part, to answer that question, I would say, wake up. Wake up. Wake up, sleeper. Look around. Things aren't normal. What we've been told was normal is no longer normal. Things are changing. Things are happening. We will either adapt and change and survive and be what Christ needs us to be, or we'll die. One or the other. It's time to wake up into the new reality. Get out of the pew. Get out of the bed. Get off the couch. Turn off the TV. Unplug. Turn off your smartphone. Turn down the radio. Plug into God. And download this information, because it's a journey. It's mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing. Now, Tony, is it possible for our listeners to reach out to you if they desire? Do you have an email or a website that you would like to point our listeners to?
Sure. They could email us at forhimministries@gmail.com.
That's the numeral four?
The number four.
H-I-M.
H-I-M.
At gmail.com.
Ministries.
Ministries. Forhimministries.
Forhimministries.
At gmail.com. I would encourage our listeners to contact Minister Tony Gunner. He and his wife have quite a testimony, quite a story. And I want to thank you for taking the time to share. This is hard stuff to share, because it's deep, and it's your life. It's the things you live through. And I know how it is when you have a story like you have, and like I have, to have to relive it sometimes. But you do it because you want to help someone. You want to bless someone. This is not anything we take joy in recounting, but in closing today, it's not something that we were joking yesterday about who in their right mind, keyword there, right mind, would want to be in a deliverance ministry.
Right.
You know, you said something that was good. You said anyone who comes to us wanting to get into a deliverance ministry, we know immediately.
we run
the other way
from
them. Yeah. So that's your first red flag. So this is not a ministry that's easily taken on, or something that's easy to move in and survive in. Actually, it's you must be called, and God has to sustain you really hour by hour, not even day by day, but hour by hour to do this. So in closing, Tony, I want to thank you for coming, and I'd ask you to lead our listeners in prayer, and just take your time, take your liberty, and speak what's on your heart, brother. Right. So go ahead and do that.
Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together tonight. Oh, we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for Brother Rick, that you blessed him with this and given us the opportunity to talk about you and to spread the great news of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Messiah, around the world tonight. Lord, I know that there's people that are living under demonic influence. I know there's people in the world that are looking for a way out. They've let the enemy paint them into a corner, and they don't know which way to go. I've been there. You brought me out. You can bring them out, Lord. And I just pray that you will give them the strength to turn to you instead of taking the easy way out, instead of continuing down that dead-end road, Lord. Have them turn to you, swim upstream a little bit, because it is so much better with Jesus. It's so wonderful. Lord, I ask that you take them out of their dark place. I ask that you give them healing. I ask that you set their feet upon paths of righteousness. It is for your glory and for their good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Minister Tony Gunner, For Him Ministries. God bless you and bless your ministry.
You too, brother.